The following message is the 14th in the series titled Exploration of Proverbs. This message was based on Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 9, and was delivered on Sunday evening, October 21st, 2012, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Robert Martin.
Please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Before coming tonight to the text that we will be considering, I thought it might be profitable to remind ourselves of the structure of this section of the book of Proverbs that we are presently studying. Of what at least one commentator has called the first collection begins in chapter 1 and verse 8 and runs through the end of chapter 9. And following a preamble in which Solomon states the book's purpose and, of course, states its foundational principle, that is, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. After that preamble, the rest of this first collection contains 10 fatherly lectures in which Solomon instructs his son in the subject of wisdom. Interwoven in this collection of fatherly lectures are two interludes in which wisdom speaks for itself. The first lecture, if you will recall, is addressed to the necessity of the son's listening to his father's instruction and of rejecting the invitation of the wrong crowd. That is, of those who would urge him to fall in with them in a life of sin. This was followed immediately in the middle of chapter 1 by an interlude in which wisdom speaks, rebuking the stubbornly simple and warning those who will not listen to God now that the day may come when they will cry out to God and not be heard of him. The second fatherly lecture comprises the second chapter of the book and speaks to the general theme of safety in wisdom. The fact is, we live in a world that is dangerous on many fronts. There are places in this world where it would not be safe to go. Well, not only are there places in this world, but there are moral dangers that far transcend the significance of physical dangers. And Solomon warns his son about those and tells him that indeed his safety is to be found by listening to and embracing the principles of godly wisdom. The third lecture, found in the opening 10 verses of chapter 3, focuses on leaning not to one's understanding, but on acknowledging God in all of one's ways. And it is an admonition to a life of universal following after God, living one's life in light of the fear of the Lord, living one's life in light of the fact that God is the most relevant fact of our experience. And then the fourth lecture takes up the issue of God's fatherly discipline of his beloved children. It also extols the surpassing value of wisdom compared to every other possible acquisition, and it speaks concerning our relations with our neighbors. And this comprises verses 11 through 35 of chapter 3. In the fifth lecture, Solomon tells his son about the instruction that his own father had given him. And that will be our study tonight. But last time I jumped ahead in order to consider Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That particular text was pressing on my own heart with a great deal, an unusual amount of urgency, and therefore rather than simply following in the structure, believing it might be of God to go ahead and to address that verse at the time that it was pressing so hard upon my own soul. We left the structure of the book and jumped ahead and took up that verse. But tonight we want to come back and to pick up with the fifth fatherly lecture, in which Solomon tells his son about the instruction which his own father had given to him. And so let's give attention. This fifth fatherly lecture is found in chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, or I give you sound teaching. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Perhaps the first thing to note about this particular fatherly lecture is that it is not addressed simply to Solomon's son. But he says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father. It seems that Solomon addresses these words not just to the heir apparent to the throne. He's not speaking simply to Rehoboam, but he addresses my children, implying that not only the successor as king of Israel, but all of his offspring need to know the things that he is instructing them. And as we see in the subsequent history, of course, of Rehoboam, there were temptations that he as the king faced that were unique because of his position in the kingdom. There were temptations that his siblings did not face. Nonetheless, in the main, they needed the wisdom that Solomon taught them as much as Rehoboam did, for indeed they would face temptations and they would face challenges of their own. And so I say to you children, including you young ladies, don't excuse yourself from receiving Solomon's instruction just because you're not a king's son destined to replace your father in the rule of a kingdom. This wisdom is of much broader application than that. This is for you as well. And you also need to give attention that you may know understanding, that you may gain insight into the principles and ways of wisdom. As much for us ordinary folk as for king's sons, as much for you young ladies as for you young men. But now Solomon here commends his instruction using the phrase good doctrine, or as the New American Standard translates, as sound teaching. And in saying this, Solomon of course is characterizing the whole, but he seems to intend that his son see these lessons in their true light, as being of superior value to anything else he might acquire, any other field of learning that he might engage in, any other field of knowledge that he might seek to gain. Solomon says this is foundational, this is the most basic, this is the solid foundation of a life that God will bless. There are many things that Rehoboam, there's many things that his siblings, there's many things that you and I can do without when it comes to an education. There are many subjects that we will never understand, and it's no great moment that that is the case. But when it comes to the foundation of a life that God will bless, this is not optional. This is not something that we can simply turn aside and say, well, this is not for me. Solomon isn't offering his son ideas that he will never need. He is not offering to him a wisdom that will never come into play or that is out of touch with life as he will experience it. No, this is basic stuff. And if his son and if we will not receive it, it will not go well. And we need to see that, don't we? We need to understand that. And again, these are not trivial matters. This is not something that kind of exists out there on the border of life or on the periphery of our life experiences, but this is central core stuff that we need to pick up on, we need to learn, we need to embrace, we need to take it to our very hearts. But now the burden of this particular fatherly lecture is perhaps familiar to some of us, not so familiar to others, but nonetheless, Solomon tells his son that he's not the first in his family to be so instructed. He says to him, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. Now, there's something I think valuable about that where it can be said. It can't be said in every case. Not all of us received instruction in godly wisdom from our parents, but in Solomon's case, he had. David had instructed him. David had taught him in the way of wisdom. And so Solomon is saying to his children, he is saying, there was a time when I was where you are. I was beloved by my parents, and thus out of that love, they instructed me in the way of wisdom. They loved me. They were committed to me. They wanted me to see where the path of godliness and the path of wisdom lay. They wanted me to tread that path. They wanted me to avoid the way of sinners. They wanted me to avoid the curse of God and to experience instead upon my life the blessing of God. My parents loved me and they taught me in the way of wisdom. There was a time when I was where you are. And in a particular way, Solomon speaks of his attitude towards this whole process. Solomon was at one time a young man who perhaps would have been tempted, as many young people are, to turn a deaf ear to their parents' instruction. They don't want to hear it, and therefore any temptation will do to turn their eyes away or to turn their ears away from what mom or dad are saying, especially when what mom or dad are saying has to do with the things of God. But Solomon had been there, and yet Solomon remembers himself. He says, when I was my father's son. Now, he's speaking about more than a mere biological fact. When he says, when I was my father's son, he's not simply pointing to the fact that David biologically was his father any more than when he says that he was tender and only the only one in the sight of his mother. He is not speaking of a bare biological fact, but rather he is pointing instead to a moral relationship which love creates. My parents loved me, he is saying, and I love them. I was my father's son. The Septuagint version, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, produced somewhere in the centuries right before the appearing of Christ, and as those rabbis who translated the book of Proverbs tried to bring this over into the Greek language, understanding the relationship that Solomon was trying to express here when he said, I was my father's son, translated this way, when I was my father's obedient son. Now, there's nothing in the Hebrew text that answers to the word obedient, but yet, as they sought to convey the real heart of this text, they added that word by way of interpretation. And I think that's right. for it's against the background of his parents' instruction in wisdom and against the background of his own receptive attitude that he had towards that instruction. It's against that background that when God posed to Solomon the question of what gift he desired from him, Solomon had a ready answer. Solomon knew what was going to be of greatest value, what was going to be surpassing in his worth. Now, were God to appear to us and to speak to us and to inquire of us as he did of Solomon and ask us, what gift shall I give you? What good thing can I give you? How would we answer him? From what sphere of life would we draw our answer? Would we ask for great wealth? Solomon could have done that. God commends him for not doing that, but he could have. His upbringing and his understanding of life could have been such that he would have regarded great wealth as the greatest of all possible things that he could get from God. But Solomon doesn't ask for that. There are many things that we might ask for. There are many things that Solomon might have asked for. But Solomon's heart was so tuned to what he had been taught by his father and by his mother that when the Lord inquires of him, his ready answer was, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people that I may discern between good and evil. It seems Solomon had taken to heart one of the chief lessons that his father David had commended to him. If you look down to verse 7, as Solomon is speaking in summary fashion of what David had said to him, this principle must have stuck in Solomon's mind and his conscience in his heart. David had said to him, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Now David knew, of course, David knew that there were many things that his royal son might get. That there would be opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity to enrich himself. But he tells him above everything else, get wisdom. And so when the king of the universe comes to him and says, ask me what you will, and Solomon is able to take that promise and know that he can draw on the very treasuries of heaven, he says, give me an understanding heart that I might discern between good and evil. David had taught his son, in all your getting, get understanding. That's the principal thing. And Solomon had taken it to heart. Now, some of us did not receive instruction from our parents. Some of us didn't have the kind of instruction that David gave to Solomon. It may be that you received nothing like that, or it may be that you received half a loaf, as it were, that you were taught in terms of general morality, but it wasn't particularly Christian morality, but just principles of honesty and truthfulness, etc. Nonetheless, many of you did receive, and many of you are receiving, instruction in the things of God from your parents. And I think you children especially have reason to thank God for the efforts of your Christian parents to instruct you in the way of wisdom. I hope you know how privileged you are. There are a great many children in this world who receive no real moral training from their parents. There's no direction as to how to approach the great issues of life, and no real guidance as to how to make sound moral decisions and how to avoid danger and how to walk in the way of safety. There's a great many children who really receive nothing from their parents that's of any value in that department. But I think most of you don't fit into that category. And can you say, as no doubt Solomon would have said, that loving me, my parents taught me, and loving them, I listened and I learned. Loving me, my parents taught me. That's the truth of the case. And loving them. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, loving them, I listened and I learned. I didn't understand everything that was being said. I didn't understand the rationale for everything that was being said. There were lessons that seemed to me quite irrelevant at the time. But with the passing of time, the importance of those lessons have become much more evident, much more patent. And so Solomon tells his son, there was a time when my father taught me, and this is how it was. This was my legacy from your grandfather. Your grandfather was great King David. I inherited a kingdom from him. But I inherited something much more. Something much more valuable than a kingdom. Something much more valuable than a crown. I inherited the wisdom that he taught me from God's word. I inherited the fruit of his love and the fruit of his concern and the fruit of his own anguish of heart as he saw me and knew that there were things I needed to know and things I needed to understand, that I needed to be able to discern between good and evil. I needed a wise and understanding heart. And David, my father, anguished over me. And now I'm about to give you a kingdom. But you're going to need much more than that. That's not the greatest legacy that I can bequeath to you. There is a far greater in the legacy of a wise and understanding heart. It's interesting to note the things that Solomon records in this passage as having been taught by his father David. I suppose that even though this is a summary of the whole, that it's even at that, it's a very brief summary, but I suspect there's a lot that's missing. I suspect that if we read through the rest of the book of Proverbs, if the truth were known, and only God and only Solomon and only David will know, but if the truth were known, I suspect that many of the Proverbs in this book can be traced back to the things that David said to his father. We find ourselves unconsciously at times repeating things our parents said to us, things we said we would never say, but yet we nonetheless are saying them. And I just wonder how many of these things he had learned firsthand from David, a man after God's own heart. But nonetheless, when you look at the summary that Solomon has given us, there are three things that stand out. The first is found in verses 4 through 6. Now, I've tried to summarize what David had been saying to his son and what in turn Solomon is saying to his son and what in turn the Word of God is saying to us. And in these verses, the general theme is this: no forgetfulness allowed. The issues are too great. No forgetfulness allowed. The issues are too great. Look at verses 4 through 6. He also said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. No forgetfulness allowed. These are not lessons that are like many of the lessons we have in school. How many of you have studied for tests just to pass the test and didn't really care whether you learned anything at all? Anyone? Well, we've got a congregation that's half honest and half liars. Okay? I had a course in seminary, to my own shame. I cannot remember one thing out of this whole semester-long course. I made an A in the course. I passed the thing with flying colors, but I studied just to pass the test. That was it. There was no interest. I saw no relevance in any of it. Well, that's not the kind of learning that David had in mind, and that's not the kind of learning that Solomon had in mind, and that's not the kind of learning that God has in mind when he commends to us the principles of wisdom. We're meant to learn these things not for a grade, but because of their usefulness. And so I suspect I would have been better off to have gotten a B or a C or even a D out of that course and learned a little bit more of the content. But my attitude was bad. I didn't like the course. I didn't care for the teacher. I thought it was irrelevant, and therefore I didn't apply myself. I did the very thing that Solomon's father said to him not to do. I forgot it. All right, so David says the issues are too great for that. The issues concern life and death and blessing and judgment. Therefore, he says, he taught me, said to me, let your heart retain my words. These are not things to be written simply in a notepad or in a notebook or to be put down in a computer file as we take notes on our iPads or whatever it is you take notes on. These are not things that are simply to be filed away as information that we have somewhere. They're meant to be engraved upon our hearts. And so David understood that, and he said to Solomon, Solomon to his son, etc., etc., don't forget. Let your heart retain my words. Get wisdom, get understanding, but don't forget, don't turn away from the words of my mouth, don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. And that's still good advice, isn't it? That's still good counsel. It's a description of really how we ought to approach this whole matter of becoming wise. That we are to aim to have the truths that God has given in his word engraved upon the tablets of our hearts. And to be retained in our consciences, to be retained in our minds, that we might meditate on them, that we might think upon them, so that they're ready, so that they're there when the temptations and the challenges come. It's not very helpful to have something in a notebook somewhere or in a computer file somewhere so that we've got the information so that we know what's the right thing to do. We've got it somewhere if it's not at hand when the challenge comes and we need it. And therefore, we are commanded to meditate upon the Word of God and to take it into the very deepest recesses of our souls. And then in verse 7, you will notice that David tells his son that there is no pursuit that has greater returns. No pursuit that will have greater returns for him. Now, Solomon is going to be king. He's going to have the armies of Israel at his disposal. He will be, along the way, acquiring lands and nations. He will be acquiring great wealth, as he did. He will be acquiring all those things that the world has to offer. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. He really went far beyond to gather in all the things that a king might desire and have. And I'm not sure that Solomon always kept to the counsel of his father. In fact, I'm sure he didn't. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that Solomon, indeed, because he sought the things of this world and because he used the things of this world over a significant period of his life with no regard to God and with no regard to the Word of God and with no regard to spiritual issues, because of that, Solomon comes to the end and says, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. But nonetheless, David had told him, wisdom is the principal thing. It's not going to be gold. It's not going to be silver. It's not going to be armies. It's not going to be entertainments. It's not going to be this or that or the other. The very first thing, that which is going to give you the greatest return, is going to be getting wisdom. In all you're getting, yet understanding, he says to him. That will be the most valuable thing. And that's still the case, isn't it? David was going to bequeath to him a kingdom. Solomon was going to have the means to acquire and to use everything the world had to offer. And many a king has been lost right there. Many a man's soul has been lost right there. Very few can survive the temptations of being lord and master over a kingdom. History is full of examples of men given great opportunity who yet failed miserably because they did not have understanding and wisdom. And therefore, instead of governing their kingdoms with wisdom and understanding, instead of coming to the end of their days with a good hope of heaven, they've experienced ruin and disaster. Well, David understands that. And David says to his son, therefore, in all you're getting, don't miss the principal thing. In all the education you're going to seek, and I would say this to you, in all the education you're going to seek, young people, in all the relationships you're going to develop, in all the things you're going to aspire to and to seek after, don't forget the principal thing. Because you won't know how to use anything else that you acquire, you will instead abuse everything else that you acquire if you don't get the principal thing, which is God's wisdom. And so Solomon tells his son that this is the case. And then third in this instruction, again, Solomon is summarizing it very briefly. But he in essence says to him, David in essence said to him, I can give you my kingdom, but I can't put the real crown on your head. I can give you my kingdom, but I cannot put the real crown on your head. Only wisdom can do that. Look at what he says in verses 8 and 9. Exalt her, that is wisdom, and she will promote you. Well, promote me to what? I'm king. I reign over the kingdom of Israel. I have subject nations and kings that bow before me. In what way will she promote me? Well, David says she will bring you honor when you embrace her. Just because there is a crown on your head does not mean that there is honor on your head. The honor of an earthly crown is fleeting. It's tarnished in a multitude of ways. It has the fingerprints of man upon it. But if you want a crown of glory, only wisdom can give you that. Only God can give you that. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. David says, I can take this crown off my head and give it to you, but I can't make you a king. I can give you my kingdom, but I can't give you the only honor that really matters. I can give you my crown, but I can't put a crown of glory, not a real crown of glory, upon your head. Only wisdom will do that. Only as you conduct yourself wisely, only as you live according to the principles of God's word, will you be exalted. Will you be the man that you ought to be? Or will you be the husband and the father you ought to be? Only as wisdom exalts you, will you be the king that you need to be? David says, I can give you an inheritance, but I can't give you this. You have to get it for yourself by walking in the way of wisdom. Now, some of our parents talked to us this way, didn't they? Some didn't, but some did. They sought to impress upon us the truths that it is wisdom that exalts us. And it is wisdom that promotes, and it is wisdom that is the real legacy and is the real inheritance. And it is wisdom that will keep us. Many of our parents anguished over us in these very things. They loved us, and therefore they taught us in the way of wisdom. Now, can we say that we have returned that love? And that because of our love for them, because of the opportunity that is ours, because God made us their son, or God made us their daughter, can we say that because of the love that we have for them and the appreciation we have for the opportunity, that we will listen and we will learn and we will live in the light of these things, not forgetting them, not turning a deaf ear away from them, not simply having them as bits of information somewhere, but deep in our hearts, ready when the challenges and the temptations of life come upon us. I'll tell you, young people, this is what your parents want more for you than anything else. They want you to be wise. They want you walking in the way of godliness. They want you to experience the blessing of God upon your life. And nothing else is going to bring them the joy that their love desires from you. Nothing else. If you get a PhD in this or a doctorate in that, if you acquire great wealth or great fame or great prowess in a certain skill, if you've not acquired wisdom, and if you're not walking in the light of God's word, your parents are not going to rejoice over you. They will continue to pray, Lord, teach him. Lord, teach her to be wise. Now, Solomon had a father who loved him. Rehoboam had a father who loved him. You kids have parents that love you. Listen, our children, to the instruction of your parents, as they seek to set before you the very bread of life. Exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she will exalt you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would take its lessons this night. And especially that you would deal kindly with our children, that you would open their understanding, and that you would show them the way that you have set before them as the good way, that you have set before them sound teaching and good doctrine, that they might walk in the light of it. Our Father, we ask that you would grant much grace to each one of us present, and we ask that you will bless us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.